Welcome to the Shortwave Report for November 18th, 2011. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. This Shortwave Report is a 30-minute review of news and opinion heard on the shortwave radio and the internet in Northern California. Listening to international broadcast at home is quite easy. You just need a shortwave radio with a schedule of English language broadcast or a computer with an internet connection. To help you with this, I'll announce times, frequencies, and website addresses at the conclusion of each series of stories. At the website for this show, that's www.outfarpress.com, you can find a schedule for dozens of international broadcasters in English. There you can also listen to the past four shortwave reports, find advice for listening to shortwave at home, and find internet links for global news sources. Please check it out and tell a friend. In today's edition, you'll hear reports from NHK World Radio Japan, China Radio International, Radio Havana Cuba, Spanish National Radio, and Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. If you use shortwave, please note that the times and frequencies have changed for most stations since the end of daylight saving time, so have a pen ready to take notes. We'll begin with NHK World Radio Japan. Shareholders of TEPCO, the company which owns the Fukushima nuclear power plant, are suing the executives of the company for the largest amount in Japanese history. Radiation levels are rising downstream from the Fukushima nuclear power plants. At the Asia-Pacific Economic Forum held in Hawaii, leaders voted to slash tariffs on green products such as solar panels. NHK Japan.
Tokyo Electric Power Company shareholders are preparing to sue the utility's current and former executives over the nuclear accident at the Fukushima Daiichi Power Plant. The group of 42 individuals asked the company's auditors on Monday to file a lawsuit against 61 people who have held executives posts since 2002. The shareholders are requesting compensation of over 5.5 trillion yen, or about $71 billion, from the executives. The amount is the highest ever demanded in a lawsuit in Japan. The investors say the TEPCO executives failed to take steps to protect the plant from earthquakes and tsunami and must be held accountable for the accident. The group asks that if the auditors fail to file a lawsuit within 60 days, they will do so on their own.
Surveys by Japan's Environment Ministry show that downstream radiation levels have risen in some rivers in Fukushima Prefecture. The ministry has been monitoring radiation levels in rivers near the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant to assess the impact of the accident there. Officials took sand samples from two rivers in September. In northern Fukushima Prefecture, the upstream radioactive cesium levels were 3,200 becquerels per kilogram in the Nida River in a district of Itate Village. The downstream levels of the same river in an area of Soma City were 13,000 becquerels. The upstream levels had fallen to one-fifth of those observed in May, but the downstream measurements had tripled. Cesium levels near the mouth of the Mano River in another part of Soma City had doubled from May. Kinki University professor Hideo Yamazaki says radioactive substances in riverbed sands are probably moving downstream, and radiation levels should be monitored near river mouths.
Leaders at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum have wrapped up their two-day meeting in Hawaii after agreeing to slash tariffs on green goods. In a joint statement, the 21 leaders said they would reduce taxes on clean energy products, including solar panels, to 5% or lower by the end of 2015. How to balance economic growth with environmental protection was one of the major topics at the annual meeting. The statement also says APEC economies will work to create rules to step up protection of intellectual property for participants in the member government's procurement markets. At the meeting, Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihiko Noda officially announced Japan will begin consultations with countries involved in the Trans-Pacific Partnership toward joining the negotiations. A number of leaders at the summit welcomed Noda's announcement of Japan's position on the TPP discussions. The Japanese government says the decision that Japan made on the TPP just before the opening of the APEC summit was welcomed. The government will begin discussing the issue of participating in the talks with the nine countries involved. The negotiations will be a challenge for Japan's diplomatic abilities, as the United States and other countries are expected to impose severe conditions.
Those reports are from NHK World Radio Japan, heard from 9 to 9:30 p.m. at 6110 or on the web at www.nhk.or.jp. All the times I'm announcing are for Pacific Standard Time, so adjust them to your time zone. Next, China Radio International. U.S. President Obama continues to point to the Chinese RMB exchange rate as a cause of the U.S. trade deficit with China. The Chinese repudiate the claim. China Radio International.
At the 2011 APEC summit, U.S. President Barack Obama has once again mentioned the renminbi exchange rate in his remarks, while Chinese Commerce Minister Chen Deming said China's currency exchange rate is at a basically reasonable level and adjusting it could not solve the U.S. trade deficit with China. Chen says China's import rate has been expanding much faster than its export rate in recent years, with its foreign trade surplus falling year by year and month by month to merely 1.4% of the country's GDP. Fan Gang, director of the National Economic Research Institute at the China Reform Foundation, says a renminbi exchange rate adjustment is not the key solution to the U.S. trade deficit.
China doesn't want to be another Japan, having significant appreciation in a short time as to avoid an exterior impact on the economy. That doesn't accord with our interest. On the other hand, the slowdown of China's economy does no good for the U.S., even the whole world. Therefore, we prefer a stable market and relatively steady process of currency appreciation. The value of the renminbi will keep rising gradually according to market demand. And as you can tell, the renminbi has appreciated by 30%. However, the U.S. trade deficit is getting worse. It is a good proof that the renminbi is not the key to the U.S. trade deficit.
Some participants at the summit say the U.S. trade deficit with China is also the main reason for job losses in the United States. But economist Fan Gang has a different view.
According to the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank's latest data, made in China products only account for 1.6% of the country's total consumption, while 88% are dedicated to domestic products and services. Therefore, America's domestic market should be the core of its job creation.
Toward a seamless regional economy is the theme of the Hawaii APEC summit. With this in mind, Fan Gang says he believes emerging economies will be crucial in preventing the global economy from experiencing a double-dip recession.
The world is quite different from 70 years ago during the Great Depression, when only the developed countries counted. But last year, emerging markets accounted for 50% of global GDP, and this year, I believe the figure will surpass 50%. As long as the emerging economies grow healthily, the world economy will be stable. And second, they provide a chance for developed countries to recover from stagnation.
Fan says the APEC meeting must address other issues such as the world economic situation, regional trade and financial regulations. He also says participants should discuss how to achieve positive effects from economic growth in emerging economies.
That report was from China Radio International, heard from 4 to 5 p.m. at 11970 and from 6 p.m. to 11 at either 9790, 6020 or 6190 or on the web at english.cri.cn. On to Radio Havana, Cuba. President Obama expressed worry about the European debt crisis and attributed it to a lack of political will. Syrian authorities have seized high-tech communication equipment from rebel groups, accusing foreign politicians and diplomats of supplying the restricted devices. In Chile, protests against the decentralization of education continue. Bolivian President Morales says that the DEA in his country was not fighting drug trafficking, but controlling it with geopolitical aims. Radio Havana, Cuba.
United States President Barack Obama says he's deeply concerned about the continuing debt crisis in Europe and attributed it to a lack of political will. Obama also warned that the turmoil that shook the markets will continue until Europe has concrete plans to address their problems. During a news conference in Canberra with Prime Minister of Australia, Julia Gillard, Obama praised French President Nicolas Sarkozy and German Chancellor Angela Merkel, as well as the decisions of Greece and Italy to form governments of national unity to enable the implementation of reforms. But in general, the U.S. president was critical of Europe as a whole. Obama's comments echoed statements made by a number of European leaders and officials who are calling for quick action to address the two-year-old financial crisis. On Wednesday, Asian shares fell once again, and the euro slipped to its lowest level in the month against the U.S. dollar and the Japanese yen.
Syrian authorities have seized large quantities of communications equipment and advanced technology, including satellite transmitters and receivers, which were in the hands of armed terrorist groups. Some of the highly advanced communications equipment was shown on television, and the Sana News Agency and Cham Press published photos of the confiscated equipment. According to reports from Damascus, the devices included handheld two-way simplex communication systems operating on very high and ultra-high frequencies, VHF and UHF ranges. The equipment operates by wireless scanning of the frequency ranges to pick up the calls of security and law enforcement forces and monitoring the movement of that personnel. Reporters say that the devices were apparently smuggled across the border from Arab countries as well as from the United States and Israel. The stored information found in the devices included the phone numbers of satellite news channels that have been providing misleading information about the situation in Syria, including the phone numbers of Arab and foreign diplomats. Similar communications equipment are used by United Nations organizations and foreign embassies in Syria. There has been an increase in the number of these systems imported to Qatar in unusual quantities. Sources in Damascus say that many of these systems are not commercially marketed, as they require the authorization and approval of the Ministry of Defense in the manufacturing countries. The existence of these devices in Syria points to the clear involvement of outside instigators, particularly of diplomats and politicians from foreign countries that have announced their support of terrorists in the Arab country.
The Social Movement for Education in Chile is organizing national protests for November the 17th and the 18th to express their rejection of the decentralization of education. A mass gathering has been scheduled for November the 17th in Valparaíso, some 120 kilometers northeast of the capital of Santiago de Chile, home of the country's legislature, which is expected to be discussing the controversial budget bill for 2012. On November the 18th, the march will take place from Italia Plaza to La Moneda Government Palace in Santiago. Speaking at a press conference, chairman of the Chilean Teachers Association, Jaime Gajardo, said that the mobilization will focus on the decentralization of education because it is unbelievable that it is mid-November already and the government has not been able to make a transparent statement about its project on this issue. The education leader said the professors are the only ones who have a clear proposal on how the decentralization must be carried out, which was submitted to the executive several months ago. Other gatherings and marches have been scheduled across the country for Thursday and Friday, supported by the teachers, the Confederation of Chilean Students, and the Unitary Workers Union. High school student groups and the Parents Coordinating Organization have also announced their participation in the mobilizations.
The Bolivian President Morales said that the return of the DEA to Bolivia is not included in the frame agreement with Washington and noted that he is convinced that the U.S. agency was not fighting drug trafficking but controlling it with political and geopolitical aims. In November 2008, the Bolivian government expelled the DEA personnel for having taken part at political opposition activities. After a 3-year stalled relationship due to U.S. interference, La Paz and Washington signed a frame agreement to re-establish new political, commercial, and diplomatic relations.
Those reports were from Radio Havana, Cuba, heard from 2 to 3 p.m. at 11760 and from 4 p.m. to 10 at either 6060, 6010, or 6000. Also streaming on the web at www.radiohc.cu. Next, Spanish National Radio. Rival factions in Libya have continued fighting, raising questions about the stability in post-Gaddafi Libya. Following a suspension from the Arab League, Syria faces new sanctions from European nations. Palestinian activists plan to board Jewish-only public buses to protest against segregation in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. a review of the candidates for prime minister in this Sunday's general election in Spain. Unelected technocrats have taken over in Italy and Greece. Neither leader has ever held an elected political position before. Spanish National Radio.
Rival factions in Libya have been fighting for several days near the coastal city of Zawira, leaving at least 7 people dead. Reports say rival communities are fighting for control over an area previously held by Gaddafi loyalists. The interim government has said that the fighting had been resolved.
Analysts, however, say the violence raises questions about stability in post-Gaddafi Libya. The country is still awash with weapons and armed groups following the rebellion that led to the collapse of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's rule.
Syria incurred more European sanctions and criticism from Turkey and Jordan after the Arab League decided to suspend Syria's membership for failing to halt months of violence against protesters opposing President Bashar al-Assad. The United Nations estimates that at least 3,500 people have died since the protests against the Assad regime began in March.
Syria's foreign minister responded to the Arab League threat by saying the move would be illegal and a dangerous step. In a BBC interview, Jordan's King Abdullah had this to say.
If it was me, I would step down and make sure whoever comes behind me has the ability to change the status quo that we're seeing. And again, I don't think the system allows for that.
The Arab League had given Syria until November 16th to end its violent crackdown on protesters demanding President Bashar al-Assad's resignation or face suspension from the regional body. However, the Arab League's decision was not unanimous. Yemen and Lebanon voted against the ultimatum.
Palestinian activists in the West Bank have announced plans to board Jewish-only public buses to protest against segregation under Israeli occupation. Dubbed the Freedom Rides, the campaign is inspired by the 1961 Freedom Riders, who rode interstate buses to challenge Jim Crow's racist laws of the Deep South in the United States. The socialist candidate in next Sunday's general election here in Spain, Alfredo Pérez Rubalcaba, has defended the economic record of the outgoing socialist Prime Minister, José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero. He praised his predecessor's handling of the financial crisis, saying that because Mr. Zapatero had grabbed, as he put it, the bull by the horns and introduced austerity measures, Spain was not now in the same position as Greece, Portugal, or Italy.
For his part, the leader of the Popular Party, Mariano Rajoy, who is widely tipped to win the election, has said that if he is elected prime minister, he will restore confidence in Spain and prevent it from progressively losing levels of well-being and wealth enjoyed by other European countries. And he harked back to the times of the last Popular Party prime minister, José María Aznar, when, he said, Spain had a vibrant economy which created jobs.
Meanwhile, one of the candidates of the left-wing Izquierda Unida coalition, Gaspar Llamazares, has likened the programs of both the big parties, the Socialist and the Popular Party, to two drops of water, as both were beholden to the markets and big financial interests, he said, and were therefore powerless to do anything about the crisis.
Unelected technocrats have taken over in Italy and Greece as the two countries continue to battle their growing debt crisis. In Italy, Mario Monti, who was invited to form a government following the resignation of Silvio Berlusconi, has said he wants to build a future of dignity and hope for Italy's children. Mr. Monti, a 68-year-old economics professor, however, has refused to set a timetable for the formation of his government or to say who he plans to nominate as his ministers.
Meanwhile, in Greece, Mr. Loukas Papademos is already under pressure from European leaders to implement radical reforms. Mr. Papademos, who succeeded George Papandreou, was the man who oversaw Greece's entry into the Eurozone in 2002. He must win a confidence vote on Wednesday before meeting Euro finance ministers in Brussels on Thursday. The Herculean task facing him was illustrated today when New Democracy leader Antonis Samaras said he would not vote for the new austerity measures, adding that the policy mix of spending cuts and tax rises agreed with international lenders should be changed in favour of economic growth.
Most Greeks hailed Papademos's appointment, but thousands of people angry at more than a year of austerity are expected to rally on Thursday, the anniversary of a 1973 student uprising that helped bring down the 1967 to 1974 military junta.
That rally could complicate talks between the Troika of EU, European Central Bank and the IMF and the new cabinet in Greece, as the demonstration is expected to shut down central Athens and could be the biggest rally in months of protests that have at times erupted into bloody clashes.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel has said that Europe could be living through its toughest hour since World War II, as new leaders in Italy and Greece rush to form governments and limit the damage from the Eurozone debt crisis.
An early rally on financial markets, sparked by the appointment of the technocrats in Rome and Athens, soon stalled. Analysts warned that daunting obstacles could hinder decisive action needed to breathe new life into their ailing economies.
Those reports were from Spanish National Radio, now heard from 4 to 5 p.m. at 5970, and podcasting at www.rtve.es. If you have questions or comments about the shortwave report or would like to make a donation for production cost of this unfunded program, I may be reached through the website or by writing to Dan Roberts at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490. Listener donations are the only source of support for this show. Please help if you can. We will conclude with Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle. The European Commission President extended his push for a United States of Europe with more integration and discipline to make sure that the euro survives. The European Union wants to curb the activities of credit rating agencies. New Italian Prime Minister Monti has created a new government made up of experts who are not politicians. Then a review of the legacy of Silvio Berlusconi. Radio Deutsche Welle.
Interest rates have jumped sharply for France, Belgium, Austria, Finland and the Netherlands. This is fueling fears that the Eurozone sovereign debt crisis could be about to spread even further. European Commission President José Manuel Barroso has called for more powers for Brussels and wants EU nations to take a major step towards becoming a United States of Europe. He wants to launch a common euro bond and said more integration, convergence and discipline in the eurozone was needed to make sure the euro survives.
We are indeed now facing a truly systemic crisis that requires an even stronger commitment from all, and that may require additional and very important measures.
European Council President Herman Van Rompuy said Brussels should be given the power to rewrite national budgets, that the time had come for far tighter surveillance by the EU executive.
We now need to go further, and we need both fiscal discipline and economic and fiscal integration focused on growth, not only to punish the sinners, but also to link our policies, to demonstrate that we share a common destiny.
Many lawmakers oppose the idea of supplanting national sovereignty over control of public finances and believe the measures undermine democratic principles. The proposals are to be presented at an EU leaders' summit next month.
The European Union has submitted a draft proposal designed to curb the activities of credit ratings agencies. If accepted, the bill would oblige agencies to warn governments 24 hours in advance before downgrading their perceived creditworthiness, among other changes. However, a plan to permit the European Security and Market Authority to temporarily suspend sovereign debt ratings in extreme cases has been abandoned. Spain, Sweden and the UK oppose the move. The three main credit ratings agencies, Moody's, Standard & Poor's and Fitch, have all criticised the bill. Ratings downgrades accelerated the economic demise of Greece, Ireland and Portugal and then made it more expensive for Eurozone partners to provide emergency loans. Spain and Italy have come under similar pressure in recent days.
In Italy, Mario Monti has been sworn in as Prime Minister. Earlier, he announced the formation of a new government made up entirely of experts and no politicians that aims to lift Europe's third-largest economy out of its debt crisis. Monti said he would head the economic ministry himself. The Economist and former EU commissioner has made it clear he intends to serve until regular elections scheduled in 2013 and rejected calls for an early vote.
Monti's proposals hinge on him winning confidence votes in both chambers of parliament, expected to be held this Friday at the latest.
Berlusconi has been in power on and off since 1994. To what extent is he to blame for the predicament Italy now finds itself in?
Without a doubt, he's largely to blame. I mean, he's somebody who went into politics basically to stay out of jail. He has passed a lot of laws specifically designed to get him off charges of corruption or tax evasion, all sorts of things. I mean, more recently, the sex scandals. But I also think that, you know, Italy has an opposition that has never gotten its act together. This opportunity should have been seized by them months ago to get Berlusconi out, to come together to provide some sort of alternative to the country. They haven't done that. And then I also think the Italian people, of course, are to blame somewhat. I mean, they voted for Berlusconi. They believed his empty promises.
If we think back maybe to the 80s and earlier, maybe the early 90s, I always remember Italy as a country that seemed to change its governments like some people change their socks. So he did give Italy a certain kind of stability in a way, didn't he?
That argument can be made. I think, you know, some people point out that in a way he's focused, at least, you know, the opposition in a way against him. But the problem is that the opposition hasn't been able to get a plan of their own. I mean, everybody is now anti-Berlusconi. That's pretty clear. But even in his years of stability or supposed stability he's given the country, he hasn't done anything for the country.
But as you say, you know, some people, I guess he was a bit like the lovable rogue. He did get elected over and over. How on earth did he do it?
One of the reasons was is Italy has a terrible electoral law in which you vote for a party and the party essentially nominates who they want to put in there. And also Berlusconi, I mean, for the last number of years has been hanging on with the help of the Northern League coalition. So his majority is fragile and dependent on a very marginal xenophobic party that has a strong power base amongst its people. But numerically or percentage-wise, it's a tiny party.
Now, you mentioned that Berlusconi got into politics basically to prevent himself from having to go to prison. How likely is it that he would ever be put behind bars?
Knowing Berlusconi, I would say unlikely in the sense that he's always managed to drag out court cases so that the statute of limitations come into effect, so that even if it's likely he's going to be found guilty, the evidence is piling up against him. Generally, you know, it's too late by the time any sentence is about to come down. So, you know, he has a lot of money, he has a lot of lawyers, and that's probably the tactic that will get him off in the end.
When Italians look back at Berlusconi's time in office, say in 10 or 20 years' time, what do you think will be his legacy? How will he be remembered?
The man who took Italy for a joyride and then dumped it once he banged up the car as much as he could and left it, you know, broken at the edge of a cliff.
Those reports were from Germany's Radio Deutsche Welle, which has just dropped its excellent radio podcast news link in favor of a combined audio-video website that may be found at mediacenter.dw-world.de. All the times I've announced are for Pacific Standard Time, so please adjust them to your time zone. One of my goals in producing this show is to encourage people to listen to international broadcast using a shortwave radio at home. However, if you use the internet, listening globally is also quite easy. See the links at this program's website. Every Friday morning, I post a new shortwave report at the website for this show. That's www.outfarpress.com. At my website, you can also listen to past shows, find internet links for international broadcasters, make a safe donation through PayPal, and get advice for listening at home. The shortwave report is free to rebroadcast upon notification. The shortwave report is produced and distributed off the electrical grid in Northern California using solar panels. I'm your host and producer, Dan Roberts. Thanks for listening.